This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Happy Tuesday. Hope you are staying out of the weather. It is blown through for the most part. Sue, is that a fair statement to say for the most part? Metro East
sure,
is
Mike.
Still getting hammered,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of, it's not moving as quickly as you would think.
It looked like it was still moving through pretty good.
There's more behind it. It seems to be a little bit lighter, but it's still green.
So we've still got a light rain in the area, not as bad as the thing that blew through pretty bad where we couldn't really see out the window for a little while.
True.
So hopefully it's going to pass. The Cardinal game is going to get in. And who knows? The Cardinals may actually win. They're trying something different tonight. You like that? We'll see how that goes. John Seiler is joining us on the guest line. It's always good to talk to John. He's a director of higher education policy and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. John, thanks for making some time to join us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You know, it's interesting that your article was talking about how DEI bureaucrats control university hiring, and right before the top of the hour, we were just having a conversation with the St. Charles Community College and what community colleges are doing and how they're looking at things completely different. But you're seeing some folks at the university level that still can't seem to get over the DEI portion of how they were doing things.
That's right. And so what I discuss in my article is a large trove of documents that I acquired through a records request. That's what I do a lot of. That's how I do a lot of my journalism. And these are grant proposals and a lot of faculty emails that show how hiring has been done at universities. And I happen to have had conversations with professors that confirm that, yeah, this has happened pretty much everywhere for a long, long time. What happens is that every stage in the university faculty hiring process at many universities across the country, both elite ones and, very much non-elite universities, administrators come in and they monitor the candidate pool, the shortlist, the finalist slate to make sure it's sufficiently diverse. And if it's not, they can threaten to pause the search, delay the search, or even just outright cancel the search, which gives them a huge amount of control over a really important part of what faculty are supposed to do, which is hire other faculty. And I think it's a really interesting component of just the way that universities have operated and the way that, the hiring of tenurable professors has been politicized and corrupted over the years.
So I've never really understood the whole thing behind DEI, especially from a hiring standpoint? I mean, is the theory behind it, and granted, I don't get it. I'm already telling you that up front. But is the theory behind that that they think they get a wider variety of opinions? Like, what are they going for here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question with a lot of complicated answers. I mean, on one hand, the whole diversity paradigm came from a Supreme Court decision in the 1970s that allowed for affirmative action in admissions, or at least sort of set the stage for affirmative action in admissions, by saying that there's an educational benefit to racial diversity because that provides, by proxy, kind of a diversity of perspectives. And so the idea, the initial idea, the thing that made diversity kind of a buzzword in higher education was that racial diversity kind of means that you'll end up getting viewpoint diversity. But what's really interesting is that over the years, universities have sort of inverted that. Viewpoint diversity is not really a popular thing to talk about amongst advocates of DEI. In fact, a lot of them will say that that's missing the point. A lot of them simply think that racial diversity is an important thing to pursue in and of itself as a part of a larger kind of social justice mission, either as a way to uplift underrepresented minorities, or maybe as just a kind of moral mandate that certain groups that have historically been mistreated now need to be boosted up by these sort of artificial bureaucratic mechanisms. And that, I think, is what DEI basically is. It's an attempt to make sure that more underrepresented minorities get hired, get promoted, and get advancement. And it does, I would emphasize, it confers a lot of power to the administrators who are carrying out these policies because they have a sort of moral imperative behind them, and they have the ability to get in the way of normal administrative processes. They can say, no, we're not going to continue with this hire until you, the department, have done certain things that we, the administrators, are telling you to do.
Are you seeing pushback on this? And the reason why I ask that is, so in Missouri, we just got a new governor last year with Mike Kehoe, and one of the things going into his policy was he was going to get rid of DEI throughout Missouri state government. Obviously, in the education world, it's pretty baked in to who they are, and I think your research and your article really points that out. But are you seeing that? Is this happening more at universities in blue states than red states, or is it still very pervasive no matter the politics of the state?
That's a fascinating question because there are layers to the pushback. I would say across the board, even among predominantly liberal, predominantly progressive faculty, these kinds of policies are often just unpopular.
Really?
Even you know, professors in historically progressive departments, they don't necessarily like having someone else from a different part of the university come in and tell them what to do. Now, the caveat is that because universities have prioritized this kind of hiring, and specifically actually less on kind of the racial preferences side of things and more on the ideological side of things, because universities have for so long instituted a kind of ideological litmus test in their hiring, there is a faction of professors who see this as, I in my interpretation, a way to gain power, a way to get their agenda across. And so while actually I would say a lot of university professors have come around and kind of see the flaws in DEI and would agree with some of the critics of the universities, there's a powerful faction, and I would say a minority, but still a very loud and very powerful minority within the university that is very much committed to this idea that the university really should be a place for pursuing social justice. It should be a place for pursuing activism. And activism, even if that means, sacrificing other goals. So I would say there's been tremendous pushback. This is actually a very promising time for pushback, where universities in California and Michigan and private universities have made serious reforms that are not just cynical ways to placate the Trump administration, but are actually reflective reforms based on serious critiques. But at the same time, yes, there is still a huge problem because DEI is in many ways about recruiting personnel, and the people who have been recruited to universities for the last two decades, a lot of them are activists and a lot of them are not going to let go of power easily.
So what are they seeing as a fallout of these practices? I'm sure there's got to be something that goes along that says, well, as long as this policy has been pervasive at this particular university, we've seen this go up or this go down. What kind of metrics are they using to judge the implications of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky question because I think a lot of people, a lot of people who are invested in higher education come at this question of metrics from a very different perspective. If you think that the purpose of higher education is to teach students and allow faculty to pursue the truth wherever that takes them, then your metric for success is going to be, you know, academic excellence. It's going to be student performance. It's going to be, on the faculty side, the ability to speak openly. But if you think that the university is about something else, maybe pursuing a political agenda, and a lot of university faculty and, even more university administrators seem to think that that is the case, then your set of metrics is going to be totally different. You're going to say, yeah, the university is succeeding when it is pushing people to be, more invested in certain political causes or more invested in fighting for the oppressed. And we all know what that means, especially in kind of the academic milieu. So I would say, in general, though, a lot of university professors and a lot of the broader public are still invested in that classic, that classical mission to pursue truth, pursue excellence in teaching. And a lot of them can see that, yeah, when you implement a policy that says we need to take people who are in the unqualified list and rescue them out of that list so that our finalist slate is more diverse, that is saying that you're putting a less qualified person back into consideration on the basis of something other than excellence. And a lot of people would say, no, that is actually a violation of what the university is supposed to be. I would certainly say that. And I think a lot of professors, even progressive professors, would actually agree with that. So, even though there are some people who would say, yes, this is exactly what we should be doing, there's, I think, a growing consensus that that's not actually the case, right? That at least these policies, even if people disagree with the way the Trump administration or conservative governors are going after them, they would say that these policies need to be reconsidered because we've lost sight of the purpose of the university.
So, John, with about 30 seconds left here, what's a key lesson that we can kind of take away from the research that you've done?
I think one of the lessons that's really fascinating in this piece is just that a lot the rise of the social justice university didn't just happen because there were a lot of ideologues, people who were committed to a certain ideology. It happened because people took hold of power. They had certain tools that granted them power. And I think that reformers need to grapple with the fact that if universities are going to be reformed, that is also going to come in one way or another through power. And that's a dynamic that's often overlooked.
Well, John, I appreciate your piece on this, and I appreciate you spending some time with us today just to put a little bit more color on this and actually get into a little more detail. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
That is John Seiler. He's the director of higher education policy and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. You know, I'm glad that Mike Kehoe has come in and said, hey, we are going to get rid of this DEI stuff. And I think we need to get back to, and I think we're seeing a movement across the country by and large, maybe not at education institutions necessarily, but I think we're getting back to the folks of, hey, I want to have the most qualified workforce that I can have, and I want to have the most qualified staff that I can have to turn out the best product. And I think we can all agree if there's one place we need that more than anything, it's an education. That's definitely one of those places we need to be. We are going to talk to a guy who actually started his career in education, Steve Ellman. He is the St. Charles County executive, has been for 19 years. Believe it or not, he started out as a history teacher. He would probably have a lot of thoughts on this particular subject. We're going to talk to him about Missouri Senate Bill 3, which is something you're going to want to know about on the other side of this break. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today as the rain moves out of our area, hopefully quickly, on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Thanks for letting us be a part of your Tuesday. Joining us on the guest line today is St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman. Steve, you know they always give me grief every time that I fill in on a show, and they say, so who from St. Charles are we having on today? And surprise, surprise, you're on. So thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be there. I hope you got your co-pilot Sue sitting next to you there.
Oh, are we talking traffic, Steve?
Are you coming down for the ball game tonight?
I just want to ask you if you're getting through the construction out in Wentzville, okay?
Well, I, of course, don't drive out that far, but people report back to me. And, you know, it's frustrating while it goes on, but then it's fine in the end. It's just
I know. So we call it delayed gratification.
That's right. That's what it is. Yeah.
Hey, we've had a lot of bad weather move through the area. Are things good out in God's country?
Well, I've been in meetings all afternoon, and my shades have been pulled. I don't know what's been going on out there.
It's been pretty bad. So hopefully nobody's worse for the wear out there. They've kind of blown through. They haven't seemed to stop yet, but they're still it's lightened a lot more. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, except on 44, we've got another round coming in.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. It depends on where you are, of course.
I get that. So, Steve, go ahead.
No, I just know on Sunday I was on the parking lot and got in the car just in time before that rain hit. Boy, it poured for about 20 minutes and then just stopped.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how that works, isn't it? It's like somebody just flipped a switch and turned it off. Hey, we're going to talk with Senator Nick Schroer in just a little bit. He's out in D.C., so we're going to catch up with him of what's going on at the White House Leadership Conference that he got invited to. But he had a hand in the Missouri Senate, and they voted through Senate Bill 3 that people may have heard about, but they may not understand exactly what that's all about. And wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about what are the implications of Senate Bill 3.
Well, I think both of our senators voted against it, if I'm not mistaken. This was the bill that had the money for the sports teams in Kansas City, but apparently to get the votes they needed, they added some tax freeze language. And what they did is, first of all, divide the counties of the state into three groups. One group is St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and Jackson County, and they are not impacted at all. I think there's 19 other counties, including Jefferson, Franklin, and St. Charles, that are going to be required to put it on the ballot before next April and ask the people whether they want to freeze everybody's taxes the way the legislature froze the people over 62 years of age a couple of years ago. And then there's another, the rest of the states are basically 5%. Now, Mike, you remember last week we were down at East West Gateway, and there's about 20 people in that group. And I asked them how many people at that table knew anything about this tax freeze business. And you and I think we're the only two that raised our hands, which is interesting, but it tells me something I've always been concerned about, and that is if it doesn't impact St. Louis City and County, the media doesn't pay any attention to it.
That's true.
And those two counties are not going to be impacted on this directly, but Franklin, Jefferson, and St. Charles, the people out here are going to have an opportunity to vote on whether they'd like to freeze their taxes. And of course, it's going to be an interesting debate, but it's going to be up to them. You and I have to put it on. And the issue about that is the people in St. Louis County, I don't know what city and county, they've been complaining about everybody moving to St. Charles and Franklin and Jefferson County for the last 30 years. If we freeze if we freeze our taxes out here, they're going to see a whole lot more people leaving to come out to St. Charles. And that could be a good thing for us, or it could be a real problem, as you well know.
So when we talk about freezing the taxes, explain to people what taxes will actually be frozen if the voters approve this in April.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's just the property tax. It's the same process that we have now for people over 62. If you're over 62, your tax bill may go up, and it can go up if you improve your home, if you make an improvement to it, or somebody new moves into that home. But if you're staying in the same home, you're over 62, your property taxes will be frozen if you've signed up for it.
Your property real estate taxes?
Real property tax. Personal property.
Yeah, just to make sure everybody understands, because there's a big push with property tax.
It
but understand
doesn't include, it doesn't include money that that has been set aside to pay off bonds.
True.
Because that money's already been obligated to pay somebody else, so you can't interfere in contracts that have already been signed.
Okay.
So anyway, and that's going to be an interesting debate, and you and I will be in the middle of it, you know, when we go ahead and get this on the ballot. But there's a preliminary question that's really interesting here, and I know a lot of people, younger people, have always heard this thing called the Hancock Amendment.
Right.
And I'm not sure how many of them really know what it is. And one of the lesser known provisions of that, and one of the reasons it passed back in 1979 or 80, whatever it was, is that it makes it illegal for the legislature to impose an unfunded mandate on a city or a county. And what they've basically done here is mandate us to put this on the ballot. Okay. And we will put it on the ballot. But when we do, I'm also going to send a letter to the state saying, hey, we need about $250,000 to pay for this. Please make the check payable to St. Charles County.
St. Charles County Election Authority. We got to put this on the ballot.
I don't know if the legislature realized that this is a problem for them, and I don't know what they're going to do about it. But we're gonna find out if they want to mandate us to do something like this. That's fine. We're going to make them pay for it, and then we'll let people decide whether they want to freeze the taxes or not.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us about this. We're going to get Senator Shorter on the line here in just a little bit, and maybe get his side from. Obviously, you're right. He did vote against that, and so did Senator Schnelting from St. Charles. So they both voted against it. So
they did.
Yeah.
And ask him what he thinks about the chances of it surviving in court. A lot of the lawyers around here, including myself, think there's some problems with it because, you know, we have four different classes of counties, and I'm not sure you can treat people in a particular class differently than the rest of them in that class. And you think about it, that makes a lot of sense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Go don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You could. We'd have, you know, Republicans when they're in control, sticking it to the Democratic counties. And when the Democrats in control, they'd be sticking it to us. So I think there may be some problems with it overall, and maybe the legislature will come back and address this whole issue of the unfunded mandate, or maybe clean up the whole thing before we actually vote on it next April. But we're going to give the people in St. Charles County a chance to vote on it.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and clearing it up just a little bit and putting it on people's radar so they know what's going on.
I'm sure I didn't clear it up completely. I'm sure there'll be a lot more questions and a lot more things to talk about. And if we got it totally cleared up, we wouldn't need you guys. So hang in there.
I'm with you. Well, I appreciate the time this time, and we will catch up with you soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
That is St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman on the line. We're going to talk with Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer, who is also a St. Charles County guy, but we're going to find him in D.C. on the other side. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on this rainy Tuesday in the area. We are going out to D.C., though, to talk with Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer. Nick, how are you, sir?
Well, it's kind of rainy out here, too. I just got soaked just leaving the White House and meeting with Trump's team on how we can not only make America great again, but make Missouri great again.
That had to be pretty exciting to go to the White House and meet with Trump.
It was. We didn't get to meet with Trump yet. He's actually, no joke, meeting with Netanyahu right now. We got to meet with a lot of his cabinet members, got to have lunch with Will Scharf. Missouri's got a big presence out here in D.C. right now. And the White House is doing something different. They're bringing the states out to D.C. to figure out how they can work hand in hand with each individual state. And we were supposed to be the first one. I was out here a couple weeks ago. Maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and before the special session, we were supposed to be the first state that Donald Trump was bringing to the White House, but we had a special session. But things are really good. We've got about 70 legislators out here, covered a ton of different topics that I can guarantee you we're going to be addressing next year.
Did you have 70 legislators from Missouri?
Yes.
Wow.
So I think it was the Republican delegation from the House, the Senate. And I'm tossing in there a couple other statewides as well that made the trip out here, from Vivek Malik to Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick, Denny Hoskins, people from Bailey's office, the Attorney General's office. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see the president embracing the constitutional 10th Amendment of the states and talking about things from education reform, tax reform, election integrity, you name it. It was a great day of figuring out how the feds can give us the power back at the state level.
I saw that Representative Wendy Houseman and Mike Coslow had posted a picture from in the White House earlier today, so I knew they were out there. 70 is a huge contingent of our legislature, though. So what's been the whole experience so far for everybody?
Well, it's been really cool. I know there's been a lot of communication for the past couple of weeks going into this on expectations, on questions, getting out here, things to do outside of the classroom setting and meeting of the minds with all of the different department heads. One of the guys that stole the show was the Secretary of HUD. We had the Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Energy going over AI and the electric generation in our state, energy generation in our state. But it's been kind of good on two levels. Number one, educational, teaming up with the Trump administration, trying to figure out what we can do next year to bring America back to being a powerhouse by embracing the 10th Amendment in all 50 states, whether it's Republican controlled, Democrat controlled, split down the middle, embracing that power of, 50 different hubs of just, I don't even know what to call it because we dealt with Linda McMahon talking about education reform and, well, you know, what does each individual state, what does each individual county and parent want for their kids versus the Small Business Administration talking about, you know, the businesses on the East Coast versus the West Coast versus the Midwest. They're all different. So their needs are going to be different. So it's refreshing to hear that. But it's also cool to see all of the different Republicans that typically after May, when you go back, go back home after session's done, you kind of lose touch with these people unless you're working with them on a daily basis, like in St. Charles County with Wendy Houseman, Mike Coslow, and all the others that are down here from St. Charles County, which St. Charles County, I think, has the biggest contingent right now. We've got Richard West, Adam Schnelting, I think all of the reps, the aforementioned reps, Travis Wilson, and so many others. But, you know, we're kind of brainstorming on ways to give the power back to the people, as the Trump administration is talking about giving it back to the states.
So how long are you all going to be in town?
We're going to leave tomorrow.
Okay.
I know there are a couple tours this evening of the West Wing. Start of the day, as you probably saw on social media, so many different legislators that toured the White House. We toured the White House. We had lunch with Will Scharf to talk about all different things that are happening in the administration that are touching Missouri. But this evening, there are going to be some tours of the West Wing. We're in a big meeting right now, just kind of brainstorming with other minds up here in D.C. to figure out preparing for next session. What are the priorities of the Republican caucus? So it's a new day. It's something that I've never experienced with even the past Trump administration. This is something new. When I came in 2017, those 4 years, yeah, they were great, but we didn't have this hands-on working with the federal government. And we had Alex Meyer, who is a St. Louis native, who's the one of the different directors in charge of bringing the states to the forefront of working with the Trump administration. So a lot of us are going to be heading back tomorrow. I've talked to a couple legislators that are going to have their families up here and just touring D.C., going to Mount Vernon, going to Ford's Theater. But all the business will be done tomorrow afternoon.
Has there been anything that you've heard so far that you're just like, wow, that's kind of surprising? Like, I knew part of that, but I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I would say, is the immigration issue. And I knew it was bad. I knew it was really bad the past 4 years from going down to McAllen, Texas, which just had the shooting just, I think it was yesterday. The Republican delegation was down there last year. And looking at the statistics of the number of illegal immigrants that were coming into the country for the past 4 years, and how Joe Biden for 4 years said, we need legislation. We got to pass a bill. We got to get something to my desk. And they didn't, because all they needed was a new president. And when President Trump came in with a signing of a couple documents, they secured the border. The other thing that was really surprising, especially in Missouri, with the amount of money that we're pouring in to education, it's more and more and more each year, but the results are not getting better. And the state of Missouri is kind of in the middle here, but most of the states, 70% of eighth graders are not proficient in reading, in literacy. And that's something that Linda McMahon was discussing with the Department of Education. Look, since the 1980s, with the inception of the Department of Education, the stronghold that the United States has had on educating the youth of this nation is gone. And we're failing our kids, and we got to return that power back to the parents, to the teachers, to the communities, to the states. So some of those things I knew, but I didn't know it was that bad. And I'm glad finally we're thinking outside of the box. We're thinking of what our founders truly intended when you go back into our founding documents of the power of the states, the power of the people in each state. And it's refreshing. Again, I'm going to keep saying that. It's refreshing to have an administration saying, hey, this is your power. This is your authority. We should have never gotten involved in things like education. and we're bringing it back to you, who knows exactly what's best for your people.
We're talking with Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer, and I want to talk to you about something else real quick. I've only got about a minute and a half or so here, but I know you have been a huge supporter of the Law Enforcement Training Center out in O'Fallon, the Center for Advanced Skills Training in Law Enforcement. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on the new police board that got put in place in the city of St. Louis, and how do you see that playing out as we move forward?
Well, you know, I'm going to try not to filibuster. As of right now, I've got a lot of faith on this issue. I've got a lot of faith with Governor Kehoe's choices with the board that he has picked. They seem to have their heads on right. They're business leaders. They're people living in the community. And he's vetted these people through and through to try and pick the best ones that are going to prioritize working with the people of the city of St. Louis, working with the business leaders, and trying to make St. Louis safe again so we can kind of emulate what has happened in Nashville, Tennessee. It's going to be a boom for tourism, a boom for economic generation, and a boom overall for the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri. So I'm excited. And, you know, as of right now, I'm very hopeful.
Well, I'm excited about the fact that this is in place. I appreciate the fact that you have always stood in law enforcement, and I appreciate how strong you've been with the city of O'Fallon and the city of St. Charles and what they're doing out in our community, and just making sure that we are the safest community in the state of Missouri. So safe travels coming back from D.C., because I'm looking forward to talking to you on Friday. So that should be really good. You got anything big planned for tonight that you're looking forward to?
Hopefully running into Donald Trump as we're going to tour the West Wing and the Oval Office. You know, I'll be reporting back on social media, all the different pictures and just encounters from out here. And it's just been really cool to see the entire St. Charles delegation working hand in hand, figuring out ways to bring more of your tax dollars back to your pockets, more of your tax dollars back to the state of Missouri, and all of the power back to the people. So it's something that I've never seen. Like I said, since 2016, when I first ran for office, I've always embraced the 10th Amendment and bringing powers back to the states. We've never had a president, nor have we had an administration like we have right now.
Well, I know you've got a lot going on. I appreciate you making time and working us in, and I hope you get to see Donald Trump tonight. That would be awesome.
If I do, I'll FaceTime you.
That sounds good. Well, safe travels. We'll talk to you, Senator. Thank you.
God bless you, Mike.
That is Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer spending some time with us today. It's great having our contingent, and I'd say our, I'm thinking St. Charles, but 70 Missouri legislators at the White House. That's pretty awesome. I love the fact we've got a huge contingent of our folks there, and hopefully they're going to work out some really good plans for next session, and we're going to be able to make the most of your...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tax dollars. We are going to do the cut of the day coming up on the other side as we wrap up the big show. It's Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk. So we've got a Trump cut of the day. Our audio cut of the day is a Trump audio cut of the day. So Trump was going through the White House and he was showing off the new artwork was there. So we were talking about the fact that Nick Schroer was just in the White House. He may have seen some of this artwork, but this is our audio cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
This is called the Cabinet Room. It's been here for a long time. And it had some pictures that were not many of them and not very good ones. And I actually spent time in the vaults. The vaults are where we have a lot of great pictures and artwork. And I picked it all myself. I'm very proud of it. That's Andrew Jackson, great Andrew Jackson. That's a gentleman named, and we call him President Polk. He was sort of a real estate guy. He was, people don't realize he was one of the, he was a one-termer, but he was a very good president. But, and I'm not sure I should be doing this, he actually gave us the state of California. He was the one. He was the one. So I'm not sure. Maybe he won't be there for long. But if you notice, the frame is the exact same size almost as the other one is Andrew Jackson. So that was a part of the reason, too, I have to be honest. But Polk is was actually a very good president who's got the same frame that I needed, okay? And up here you have the original George Washington right behind the light. And then you have Dwight Eisenhower, who was a very underrated president, built the interstate system, and he was the toughest president, I guess, until we came along. But I don't mind giving up that crown, because I don't want to be too tough on it, but we want to be humane. But he was a very good president, and a very good general, and a very good president, and I thought he deserved a position somewhere on this floor. And then you have, this is very exciting to me, he was not a Republican, to put it mildly, but he was, you know, he was a four-termer. He was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And if you notice, there were a lot of ramps outside. We have ramp. People say it's an unusual place for a ramp. It was because of him. He was wheelchair-bound. But he was an amazing man. It's an amazing portrait. And we used to have him in the room, a different portrait. And it was a terrible portrait. It was almost like it was done by a child. And I used to say, you know, I can't believe that he would have approved of that portrait of himself. And I was in the vaults and looking at things. I said, what's that? And we have some great curators here. We have six curators at the White House. They have two for paintings. They have them for furniture. They have them for different things. I guess cost is no object. Okay, cost is, maybe I'd have one, but that's all right. But we have six, and they're very talented, though. And he said, that's a picture of FDR. I said, really? Let me see it. They took off the wrappings, very well preserved. And I said, that's the picture they've been looking for years. That was the picture of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And I said, oh, wow. And likewise, that fit, see, frame-wise, it doesn't work if you have, I want to be nice, but it doesn't work if you have a big frame, a little frame, and you, but it's like perfection. I'm a perfectionist. The mirror was down in the vaults also. I said, where is this from? And it's a very old, very storied mirror, beautiful. We put that up. And then over there is Honest Abe Lincoln, and that picture was in his bedroom, and we thought that this would be a very important place because this is where wars are ended. I'm not going to say wars are declared. I'm going to say wars are ended.
So that's Donald Trump taking the media on a tour today. Obviously, that's something that was pretty cool that he got to go out and pick all that artwork. But it was a big day for the president. It was a big day for the Missouri delegation to be at the White House. Hopefully, as Senator Schorer was saying, they're going to get an opportunity to see the president a little bit later on. Hopefully, we have an opportunity to get the Cardinal game in tonight, and it turns out to be a winner. In the meantime, it was my pleasure to be a part of your Tuesday. Thanks for letting us be a little part of yours, and I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday evening. It's Mikey Lemon for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.